Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to The Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is paranormal investigator and empath Don Staggs, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is intuitive and remote viewer Harvey Althaus, and I want to wish the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, congratulations on 7 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Way to go, Sophia. You rock.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to ghost host, Sophia Temporelli.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRoffTours.com. You are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Congratulations to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, for celebrating 7 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I'm John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James. And this is hands down the world's most unique paranormal broadcast, where 19-year-old Sophia Temporelli discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves. So congratulations, Sophia, on over 7 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com. And I want to thank Rob Zurek, the site founder of LiveParanormal.com, for providing this format each and every week. Your call is welcome. Feel free to call into the show, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. As well, feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. You can sign in utilizing Facebook and Twitter, and it doesn't merge your accounts or do anything like that. Just a simple way of getting into the LiveParanormal.com chat room, where we'll be posting today's links for our guest. And today we have Between Love and Hate, The Devil is Real, and The Experience author John H. Egan. He'll be on the show today. Everyone visit john-egan.com. That's john-egan.com. So that's E-A-G-A-N, so for Egan. WhatGodToldMe.com is his other website as well. Twitter @Spiritual11. That's @Spiritual11. Upcoming, we have psychic in Salem witch trial, the Senate Victoria Gross on the program next Saturday. So that'll be on the 25th. Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures Hollywood psychic Patty Negri will be on the program on the 8th of September. The Heritage Hunters Society founding investigator Michael LaCiano will be on the program on September 15th. Detroit Paranormal Expeditions founder and Parexchange broadcaster Todd Bonner will be returning to the program on September 22nd. Method in the Madness paranormal mystery author Kimberly Bruliette will be on the program on October 13th. Dr. Phil and Ricky Lake show in-studio psychic FBI profiler author Jennifer Schaefer and award-winning filmmaker author Richard Martini will be on the program. That's going to be in October, so that will be October 20th. Also, to official Brookdale Lodge Santa Cruz ghost hunters, Marianne Porter and UK filmmaker Don Phillips will be on the program on October 27th. We have more guests securing their dates as we speak, so you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. So like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, too, like LifeParanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal investigative team member roundups on the weekends, as well as authors, a lot of your favorite paranormal authors. And check out memberships here on LifeParanormal.com. They start as low as $2.99 a month, but Rob Sirk, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience here. So a lot of books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, all autographed, lithos. He's great at rewarding the members here as well. Support the vendors here on LiveParanormal.com. Oh, and also on August 25th, the Omen House, which you've seen on Ghost Hunters, My Ghost Story, Paranormal Witness, History, Haunted History, Ghost Adventures, just down the drive from where the infamous Manson murders transpired, will be open to 20 people to come and investigate from 8 p.m. till 3 a.m. There'll be 16 HD cameras with audio and IR throughout the house for you to utilize to capture all the activity that happens and include good food and drink throughout the night. SLS kinetic camera, REM pods, K2 meters, digital recorders, thermal imagers, they'll be provided too as well. Lilia Corin Willis will be holding a seance on the third floor level in the theater room. So everyone visit theomenhouse.com. That's theomenhouse.com. Also, to check out Sophia's new YouTube that she just posted. She did a sort of a documentary investigation on the Omen House on the 49th anniversary of the Manson murders. So that's available on YouTube on the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli's YouTube channel. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, and as always, monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more. If you miss anything on the show, want to toggle forward, catch a link or anything, or replay a moment, archive shows, they're available as free MP3 iTunes downloads on the homepage of LifeParanormal.com. And as always, we have Peter James.
John,
will be taking your call.
Talk to me, John.
Thank you, Peter. I have a million pages open. It's always
I'm here to help you.
Well, thank you, Peter. And let's see here. Let's bring on the
come through. Speak to me.
Hey, thank you, Peter. Sophia, are you there? Oh, you're still
Hello?
There. You are now. You're unmuted. Hi, Sophia. Congratulations.
Hello?
7 years of broadcasting.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 7 years.
You're doing a fantastic job. Everybody loves your show. And, you did a fantastic job on the YouTube covering the 49th anniversary of the Manson murders. But it was a very real respectful get-together of all those the paranormal investigators, the seance. And you did a fantastic job on the video.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to film. I was very surprised, though, when my best friend, Brianne, saw the video because I didn't know she watched my YouTube video, so I was pretty
she probably subscribes, and yeah, as soon as it was posted she saw it.
Well, it's so cringy though. I'm like, oh, Bree, don't do that, because every time I mess up on something, now she knows. Like one time we were in class and my teacher was playing The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, like a commercial for it, really loud, and like the gunshot went off and I like jumped. So she saw that. So I know she'll never let me live something down if I mess it up.
Right. Well, you got the Twitter, you got the Instagram, all the different things. Where can people find you?
So I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L, and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli.
Okay, tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome Between Love and Hate, The Devil is Real, and Experience What God Told Me After 1 Million Prayers, author John H. Egan, into the show. Everyone visit johnegan.com, whatgodtoldme.com, Twitter, Spiritual11. Let's bring him into the show.
Yeah, and it's john-egan.com. I'm posting all the links into the chat room, so everybody feel free to jump over to the chat.
Talk to me!
Peter. Okay, thank you, John. John, thanks for coming on the show today.
Yes. Hey, thank you. It's an honor to be here. It really is. Sophia, how
are
you?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm good. How are you?
Thank you so much. Yeah, so what I wanted to do is, you know, I had this encounter, but every time I hear of an encounter that a person has, like with a ghost or an angel or a demon, I kind of wonder about that person a little bit, you know. I'm a little bit skeptical myself. You know, I wonder if that's a legitimate person. Mm-hmm. Are they a little crazy? Are they doing this for attention? That's why I probably want to give you a little history about myself and who I am, you know. By this apparition that I had, a small veil was lifted for a moment in time where I was able to peer in through a dimension unseen by most people. I could actually see through a threshold into the paranormal realm. I realized we're all going to be faced with this dimension someday, that fifth dimension. No matter where you are, what you did in your life, in the end, we're all going to be standing on that precipice of that event horizon of that fifth dimension. And there's going to be like forces there. For some, and maybe for many, evil forces they'll have to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking to you. I'm not just talking to a few of your listeners. I'm talking to everybody out there. Everybody out there
right.
is going to be thrusted into this abyss. So tonight, I'm going to try to give you an understanding of these evil forces and how they're going to try to manipulate you in that paranormal realm. And I think your listeners will be enlightened a lot on a deep level, more than they can possibly imagine right now. And it's quite frightening. This apparition that I had is the antithesis of any apparition I've ever heard or read about. I mean, if you think about it, Sophia, how many times in the course of history does an entity break through a dimension to deliver a message? And I could probably count them on my right hand alone. When people read the Bible, there's occurrences in there of the angels where they brought messages to people. There's not much about devils delivering messages to people, you know what I'm saying? So there's plenty of stories, plenty of ghost stories, scaring people or haunting houses. We've all heard a lot of ghost stories. But tonight, I got to ask your listeners to have an open mind, be ready. You might even dream about this. Some people tell me that they do. It's a little frightening, so I can guarantee that. But I'm not a crazy person. I'm not looking for attention. And I was given a few talents in my life that I got a lot of attention. I'm a best-selling author. I don't know if we're going to have time to talk about that. I'm an artist whose work has been seen throughout the world. I'm not sure if we're going to have too much time to talk about that either. The only reason why I bring that up is because when I had this apparition, I was able to burn that image in my mind. So like we were saying earlier, if you went to john-eagan.com, you're going to be able to see a visual of that. When I'm talking to you about it, you can actually see a visual. The cover of the book is the actual drawing and painting that I did of this apparition that I had. So you'll be able to look at it while we're talking about it, you know. So that's kind of important in a way. So John-Egan, EAGAN.com, you know. So for me, like I said, I'm not a crazy person looking for attention. I mean, real quick, I was born in Brooklyn back in the day. I went to a parochial school. They had the Franciscan brothers kind of ran the place. Every single thing was regimented. You know, before school, we played in the fenced-in school yard in Brooklyn. And then a Franciscan brother would come out and blow a whistle. And while you're playing, you had to stop cold. If you're playing, like, basketball or something like that, all you would hear was the basketballs bouncing, you know, because you couldn't move. If you move to try to stop the basketball, and it's going to be bad for you. The Franciscan brother's going to beat you. When you got home, your mom's going to beat you. So, you know, you couldn't really win. So you got up online, and you marched into school like a really good soldier, you know. So back then, it was a different time. You knew back then your parents was going to stay together. They had six kids. I don't know how my mom and dad did that. He was a truck driver. He didn't really have much money. But we all kind of stuck together. The whole community would go to church on Sunday. You had to even get there early when I was a kid because everybody went to church back then. So if you wanted to sit down, you had to get there early. They even built soundproof rooms in the back of the church for mothers to go with their babies if they were crying so they didn't disturb everybody, so they could still attend church. You never see that today. I hardly ever see any kids in church, you know. It was a different time back then. We all, like, all the kids played outside in the neighborhood. You know, we played, like, stickball in the street. It wasn't really an internet. People hanging out. You know, that's curious because I just wanted to tell you real quick about a study they did. Like only 20 years ago, right before the internet was really created, they asked people, how many personal friends do you have that you could feel intimate with and tell your problems to? And during that survey, it turned out that, like, most people thought they had three friends that they were personal with. Like, nowadays, you have the internet. Global communication between everybody. Everybody has 500 friends on Facebook, every other, you know, Snapchat, everything. You have 500 friends here, 300 friends there. And when they did a survey today and they asked them, how many personal friends do you have that you feel like you could tell your problems to and feel intimate with? And it's down to 1.5 now. Now, does that sound, that sounds pretty weird, doesn't it, Sophia?
Yeah, definitely. You know, social media has definitely changed the world in so many ways. So it's not surprising that it's also changed, you know, the way that friendships are.
I know. And that's right. Really a shame because that, real quick, I'll tell you about a study they did. I mean, the millennials nowadays, the suicide rate has doubled among boys and tripled among girls. I don't know why. I mean, they have 500 friends everywhere and everywhere you go, but it just seems like it's kind of like imploding or something like that. It's not working the way everybody would hope. It's almost working like a neutron bomb. When a neutron bomb goes off, it doesn't make a big explosion, but the neutrons go through the buildings and go through armor, goes through the ground, kills everything from the inside. It seems like something like that's happening right now, but I'm not sure. But anyway, my whole dad moved our whole family to New Jersey. That's where I am right now, New Jersey. And I went to the College of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It was called Trenton State College back then. That's where I got my degrees. And I started out as a special ed teacher. And that's when I kind of felt blessed, Sophia, because I worked with kids that didn't have the qualities or attributes or characteristics that most normal kids have, you know. They didn't have really anything. So I felt kind of blessed, and I kind of felt like I owed something for that, for just being normal, believe it or not. And I also worked with children who had these terrible cancers. And they, 20 years ago, they really weren't going to make it, you know, very long. And nowadays, they kind of could help them a little bit more. But I would give them, like, a coloring book and some crayons, and they would color in the numbers. And they would try so hard to keep the, you know, the crayon inside those numbers. And sometimes they had such terrible cancers in their jaws that they would drool, and you had to clean that up. But I had teacher's aides in the room. They would help me clean that up, you know. So I felt so terrible, and I felt so blessed. And I felt like I had, you know, I always prayed in my life, but I took on much more prayers every day. You know, I would meditate and pray for like over an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But so as a special ed teacher, you don't really have to correct papers or anything like that, you know. So you had a lot of time on your hand. It was 2-hour lunch break. The teacher's aide would help feed these kids, so I didn't have to do any of that. So what I did was I started working at night as a bartender. But that's where I met. I think this is going to tie in a lot to this aberration that I had. That's why I met a little more shady characters, a little more wicked kind of people, people looking for, you know, anything that they can get their hands on, alcohol, drugs, anything that was like you would think that would be bad. But I stuck it out with them, and I enjoyed being with them. But a lot of these people died. Like, they died from overdoses. They died from car accidents.
Right.
They died from terrible cancers. Like, you can't really smoke and drink that much every single night. It just, even as a young person, it gets you somehow. So I felt that these people died in a state that nobody should really die. They never knew why they were even here to begin with on this, you know, on this planet. And then they die in the middle of their atheism, because there was a lot of atheists out there. And I felt maybe I'm going to have to start praying for these people too. So I would say to God, you know, during my prayers, I'm going to pray for these people. Don't send them to hell until I'm finished praying for them. And in my religion, we believe that the souls fall to hell like the snowflakes fall from the sky, and especially if nobody prays for them. So I have a whole list of these people that I knew who died in a state that you shouldn't. They never got to be old and understand why they were here, you know. Actually, this book teaches you to know yourself. There's a whole section of it about know thyself. I think that's so important for people today to understand why they are here. So they died in that way, and I pray for them every single day. Okay, so now I think this is one of the big reasons that I had this terrible apparition. But I still feel that this apparition was a gift to me, you know. So anyway, so I'm dealing with these children. I'm working at night. This is where I, if you have time, this is what, you know, I worked at night. All the clubs that I worked in, if a guy saw a girl like you, Sophia, they say, who is she? Is she waiting for a date? Should I buy her a drink? So I asked her to dance, and I was like, I don't know. And they would go, could you just go over and talk to her for me? So I was like, okay. And I would go over to like you, Sophia, and they're going to see that guy over there and try to, like, you know, connect a little bit with him and her. And then I realized guys don't know really how to communicate, you know. And the guys have got up on their own, talk to the girls, and then they would get, like, shot down and go back to their stool again. And the girl would say to me, who's that creeper? Who's that creeper? Who's that asshole? And I'm thinking to myself, what did you say to her? You know, I was thinking, I'm talking to you. You seem okay. In 2 seconds, now you're a creep. So I thought, you know, maybe this is a problem. Maybe I could try to solve this problem. So I started interviewing women. I interviewed 2,000 women about the proper protocol, how to approach a woman, how to look, how to act, how to behave, how do you ask for that date, what's turning you on when we're talking to you, what's turning you off. So when I got to 2,000 interviews, I realized there was an actual technique, an actual right answer for every single question. So I wrote a book called How to Get Dates with Beautiful Women. This is like over 20 years ago. Turned out Men's Fitness Magazine saw me doing some TV shows, and they called me and said, we want to test your book. We like the book. We want to test it. We're going to test other books, too. So they tested my book and other top-selling books back then. And when they did the article, they said that 80 to 90% of the women they approach using my techniques, the men got a phone number and a date. Every other book got zero. So then everybody wanted to talk to me, every TV show and every radio show. I just kept doing them one after. They just rode the wave with it, you know. But I can tell you one funny story that happened back then. I'm here in New Jersey. So in New York, you have Today in New York, Good Day New York, Good Morning America, all these morning shows, right? So once you get on the circuit and you're a pretty good interviewer, they want you to come in. They want to, sometimes you got to do this the same show like 3 or 4 times. But back then, Sophia, there was a rapper out, Chris Brown. I don't know if you know who he is. You ever heard of Chris Brown?
Yeah.
Okay, so Chris Brown was just starting. So when you go into you got to get there like 5 o'clock in the morning. And you go into a green room. There's a big plate glass window looking over like Times Square or Broadway or something like that. That's where the studios usually are. And then there's coffee and bagels there that you wait until they tell you to come in and do your interview, right? So you see a lot of celebrities back then because they're all waiting to do their interview. And Chris Brown was one of them. So he was going out with Rihanna back then, right? So somebody, and I think he beat her up. I think he beat her up or something like that. And somebody interviewed him about that particular thing. He got real upset. Now listen, he took the chair in the green room and threw it right through the plate classroom window, right out onto Times Square or something like that, right? And I was watching this with my wife on the news because I did all those shows, and I'm watching this, and I said to my wife, this guy's a genius. I know how many green rooms I was sitting in. I never thought to take the chair and throw it through the plate classroom to get all that attention, you know, and free publicity. So anyway, that was one thing that happened back then. But I had a lot of fun with the book. It still sells to this day, believe it or not. I did Howard Stern. Howard Stern had like 14 million listeners back then. He still does.
Wow.
It has a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And every show that you could possibly think of, I just went and did it. So that's what I was doing in the meantime. But I still was saying my prayers. I still was a teacher during the day. And I kept up with my prayers. So if you want to, we could almost start to begin with how I had this apparition. Would you like to hear about that?
Yeah, totally. I would love to know more about that.
So
yeah,
this
she had something similar.
Say that? Say that again?
Oh, Sophia's had something similar. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah, she'd love to discuss that.
I would like to hear about that, too, believe it or not, because I'm more interested now than I ever was. The only other time I've ever heard of anything like this was when my brother had a heart attack. He had this blood disease that runs in the family. It killed my dad when he was a young man, about 60 years old. My brother got it. He had a heart attack when he was like around 40. He went to the hospital. He died on the hospital bed. And I didn't know this until I went to visit him later. He left his body. This is the only other time I've ever heard about anybody that close to me having an encounter with a demon. He left his body. He said he said he was watching the doctors and the nurses frantically trying to get him back to life again. Remember, this man is only in his 40s. So just because he had this particular blood disease that gave him this heart attack. He was in good shape. He's a contractor. He said he watched the doctors and nurses frantically trying to bring him back to life. And in the meantime, he was out of his body. He was watching from out of his body. He said from a dark corner of the hospital room, five demons, big ones, but five demons came and started grabbing him and started pushing him towards the dark side of that room while the doctors and nurses were frantically trying to bring him back to life. And he was fighting them, he said. I know. And then finally they got him back to life. He got back into his body. He became into this fourth dimension again. And he, when I went to visit him, he said to me, Johnny, why did demons come for me when I died? And it's like an answer that you really don't know how to answer. I didn't know how to answer him. He said, but why did demons come for me? And I didn't think I lived a life, you know, like that, anything that bad. I was thinking like, well, I don't know why, and I don't know if they were taking you to hell, but I think I might have the answer. And we start talking about the aberration I had and what I learned from this demon that came into this house. That I said to him, well, we all were brought up to have our morals, you know, but for some reason people can come and take some good things away from people. Like I have two nephews who are atheists. They were brought up to have a religion and morals, but people have come and taken them and taken their love for God away and taken their hope in God away, and now they're atheists. And when I try to talk them back into their religion, they just laugh at me and they say, well, when God sticks his head out through the clouds, I'll believe, you know. And then they laugh at me and walk away. So I was like, well, somebody came and took their faith in God away, you know. Somebody came and took my brother's, you know, his foundation of going to church and trying to bring your kids up like that away. I mean, people can do that. I'm telling you this now because I want to tell you the power of this thing that came into my house later. So if people can do these things, people can – I mean, I have nieces and nephews who are heroin addicts. People have come and took their – you know, who showed them that heroin is a good thing. I mean, just that people can persuade you to do things they shouldn't really persuade you to do, but they have the power to do that. So for me, I want to tell you the power of this creature that came into this house. So I'd like to tell you that was the only other time I can remember of anybody really having an encounter with a demon personally that I knew personally. I've heard a lot of things, but for somebody like Paulie to tell me that, I really believed him. I said to him, well, maybe because you broke off with God like 20 years ago, you stopped going to church, you didn't marry this woman, you lived with her for 20 years, you didn't bring up your kids in any religion, and could any one of your kids even recite a prayer? I asked him, you know. I mean, you're supposed to be doing that as a father, but I don't know. But now he's a very religious person. After that experience, he's turned around 180 degrees. So for my experience was, so I have this behind me. I pray for a lot of souls that I felt died in a really bad state. And I ask God, don't send them to hell till I'm done, till I got my last day on this earth, and I keep praying for these people. So what happens here, now I live in New Jersey, and I live in a nice home in New Jersey on an acre of property. I have a living room and a sectional couch. Downstairs is, I had three boys. And the first one wanted to have like an apartment down there. So I finished the basement, cut it in half, made an apartment. So he lived there. He went to college and he moved out. And my third son went to college. He moved out, but he wanted to come back to start his own business. So I said, come back because nobody's here now, just me and my wife. So he was fine. He came back and he tried to start his own business down there. So the house is like that. The house is on a hill. So when you pull in your car, you pull in underneath the garages, and then the garages attached to the basement. There's a metal door in between the garages and the basement. And then there's steps that go up to the kitchen, and then the kitchen's right next to the living room. So I can almost hear when somebody comes in downstairs, you know. So like every day, well, since that book did so well, I don't bartend anymore, and I don't teach school anymore, so I retired early. So, but I do continue, but I want to go back to my artwork, but I do continue. Actually, at my website, john-egan, EAGAN.com, you could see on one of the pages there, you could see some of my artwork. My artwork was actually in Ripley's, believe it or not. It's in their 2018 edition, USA Today, which is one of the biggest, yeah, it's out now. Yeah, if you went to the bookstore, you would see USA Today. did a whole page on well, actually, do I have time to tell you this, or should we continue with the aberration?
Oh, yeah, no,
we
have
go a
ahead.
Commercial break. Yeah, we'll take a break, and yeah, what we'll do is let's see here. It's I'm just looking at the time. Yeah, we got plenty of time. So what we'll do, that. We'll take a quick commercial break. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Again, today we're welcoming Between Love and Hate, The Devil Is Real author and The Experience author, John H. Egan. And everyone visit john-egan.com. That's john-egan.com, whatgodtoldme.com. And also you can visit him on Twitter, at Spiritual11. That's at Spiritual11. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli. And also we'll take your calls when we return to 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. And again, I'm posting John's links in the liveparanormal.com chat room. We'll be right back. Woo!
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Believe. Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with my ghost story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli, weekly 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holder, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Today, again, we welcome Between Love and Hate, The Devil Is Real author John H. Egan. Everyone visit john-egan.com. That's E-A-G-A-N. So john-egan.com. Also, whatgodtoldme.com. And on Twitter, at Spiritual11. That's at Spiritual11. I'm going to go ahead and bring everybody back into the studio now. Sophia, you're on with John.
Thank you again for coming on today, John.
Oh, Sophia, it's a pleasure to be here. Believe me. Well, so what I tried to do is establish the fact that I'm not a crazy person. I've never, like, a person can have a hallucination. I could understand that. But, see, actually, my wife and my son are involved in this, too. So, like, three people can have the same exact hallucination at the same exact time. You could ask any psychiatrist in the world. And even if we all took, had a reaction to medication, if we all took a hallucinogenic, if we all took some kind of drug, if we all had some kind of disease where you hallucinate from, you're still not going to have the same the same hallucination. It's just not going to happen. So I'm just trying to establish the fact that, I mean, I am a best-selling author, and my work has been seen around the world as an art, and my artwork has been seen. So I'm not a crazy person, and this never happened to me before, other than the one that I tried to relate to you about what happened to my brother. But so this actually really happened, and it happened about a year ago around this time. And as I said, I'm sitting. I have a sectional couch. I tried to describe my house. I could hear if somebody comes in that basement door, because that basement door is an iron door. So it's kind of loud, a little bit loud, but not that loud. But so I'm sitting there. I did my meditations. I'm a Catholic, so I use the rosaries a lot. So I put, you know, so I did my meditations, and I'm resting for a minute, and I hear that basement door slam like I've never been before. I've been in this house for 20-something years. Slam like I've never heard it before. My wife couldn't even slam that door that loud, even if she wanted to. And my son, I don't think he would, maybe he couldn't, but he's a 170-pound guy, you know, and he's 20, he probably could, but other than him, you know, having a car accident, or, you know, I've never seen him that mad. So I'm thinking, what was that? So I get off the sectional couch in the living room, and I have to go through the kitchen, and I look downstairs, and there's no lights on, because usually when my son comes home, he's turning the lights on down there. So I'm thinking, what? Mm-hmm. So I go downstairs, and I start looking around, and the door to his apartment is still open. So usually when he comes home, he closes that door and he puts the lights on in there, and I can see, you know. So I go in there, I look around, I look in the closet under the bed, and there's the furnace room down there because it's a basement. I look in there, I look under the steps, and there's nobody. And I'm thinking to myself, what could have done that? So I come upstairs, and I'm thinking, but now I hear I felt something like menacing or sinister, ominous was in the house at this time. Something evil I felt was here. I don't know why I had that feeling. I just felt it. Something menacing was here. Now, I don't understand these demons, but I learned a lot from this one apparition that I had and what it did before that. But I didn't know at the time that, okay, so this creature has now come into my house. And I'm not sure about it right now, but now I know. This creature is now making it known to me it is here in the house. And that's what it was trying to do. So now I go back upstairs, I sit down on the couch, and then I hear the steps from the basement to the kitchen, something really heavy walking on it, because I know my weight of my son and my wife, and we're not heavy people. But something feels like maybe 300 pounds just crushing those steps one by one, very slowly coming up. And then I'm getting the idea that something, I knew something menacing here. I'm getting the feeling there's something evil in this house. So I get up off the sectional again. I go to look. There's nobody there. And then after a while, it starts to walk down. There's a hallway behind me to the bedroom. It starts walking down the hallway. It's like scratching the walls as it goes and slamming the bedroom doors. So now I feel, okay, this is something out of my control. But I didn't know at the time. It was trying to tell me it was here. So my wife comes home, and she says to me, first thing she says to me, there's something really evil. I feel this house, there's something wrong with this house. There's something like evil. And I didn't want to say anything to her, because they're going to sound like a crazy person. That, you know, I just didn't know what to do. I went and looked at the camera. I have a camera system. So I come in the office, and I look in the camera system. Nobody was on the property. I roll the cameras back 10 or 15 minutes from when I heard that door slam. Nobody opened the garage doors. I could see in the cameras. Nobody came in the side garage, the basement door where the garages are. Nobody came in there. So nobody was on the property. I would have saw it, you know, by looking through the camera system. So nobody was here. So now I know something is really wrong. But Sophia, I don't know what to do about it, to be honest with you. I don't know anybody who would know what to do about it. So my wife feels like weird. Mm-hmm. This is something weird. This house feels strange. So now we're sitting there together, and then the footsteps again on the steps of something really heavy walking up the steps, and then my wife looks at me and says, is that Johnny? She yells, Johnny? Like that, you know, and then she gets up, and I was like, I didn't know what to say to her. She gets up and goes, Johnny? She's saying, yeah, Johnny, and she looks at me, there's nobody there. She goes, there's nobody there. I go, I know, Lillian, I don't know what to tell you, but I don't know what to say. And then it goes back to the bedroom and starts slamming the bedroom doors again. Now this is now I realize now that this entity, this creature, was now making it plain to my wife it was here. First it made it plain to me it was here. Now it was making it plain to my wife it was here. I didn't know how these things behaved until now. So it was
right.
letting me and her know it's in this house, it's possessing this house, you know. So I was, I still didn't want to say anything. So this goes on for at night, Sophia, at night, you know, when you're in your bedroom
mm-hmm.
and you feel you're safe, right? And the lights are out and you sleep and you feel safe. Now, in the middle of the night, I would hear this breathing of like a water buffalo breathing, really deep, heavy breathing right in the room. It would wake me up. It would wake my wife up. And she would say, "What is that?" And she would turn the lights on, and I kind of knew what it was, but I didn't know what to say or do about it. I mean, what do you do? So anyway, these things are happening to us. It's making it plain to me and my wife. It still hasn't made it plain to my son yet. So me and my, well, we have a beach house. So on the weekends, we go down to the beach house. And some of my family comes down there. So we're down on the weekend down at the beach house. My son calls and says, "Are you here or down at the beach house?" And I said, we're down at the beach house. He was talking to my wife. She goes, "We're down at the beach house." "Well, something's here," he goes. So he said, "When I'm downstairs, I hear something crushing the floor, like something really heavy walking through the floor and banging the bedroom doors up here. And when I come upstairs," he says, "I hear it downstairs slamming the doors, and he has a glass closet door. He hears that sliding back and forth, like really violently." So he goes, "What's going on? What's in this house?" So then my wife says to me, "You know, when we get back, we're going to have to talk." So I was like, "Okay, but still, Sophia, I don't really know what to do, to be honest with you."
Mm-hmm.
"I don't know if anybody really knows what to do." So we come back, and then my wife is telling me, "Look, if you don't do something about this, I'm probably going to have to go just live at the beach house until this is over." And I was like, "Well, wait a minute, because I don't really know what to do." "So, well, maybe we need an exorcism," she said. So I was like, I don't really want to go to the church. I mean, we've been going to the church for a long time. We know the priests and everything like that. They come here. We have like a little garden party every spring here. They come here for dinner and some kind of little meetings once in a while. Now I got to go to these guys and
mm-hmm.
say, something possessed in my house. They think of us as a normal family. They know us all these years. You know, I just couldn't do that either, Sophia, to be honest with you. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't really have a solution. But now I realize, I didn't even realize it, that this thing, this creature that was here, and it was here for a reason, we're going to discuss that in a minute, it made it plain to me it was here. It wanted me to know that. It wanted my wife to know it was here, and it wanted my son Johnny to know it was here. So it was like
uh-huh.
taking over in a way. You know what I'm saying? So every day,
yeah.
I sit on my sectional, I do my meditation and my prayers. This one day, I'm praying my prayers. I stop for a minute. On the sectional couch, I have like a glass table right next to me with a lamp on it, like most people do. I put my rosary beads on there, and I stop for a minute. And then Sophia felt like the world held its breath for a second, and I saw something in the air mm-hmm. between me and the couch and the wall. And that whole area started to ripple. I thought there was something wrong with my eye for a second. And it's supposed to, you know, like if you took a rock and you threw it into a pond, you see how the water would ripple?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how the air was rippling right next to me. So I turned to look, and then the rippling air turns into a big wall of blue flame, not red flame like you would think. It was a giant
mm-hmm.
wall of blue flames. So now I'm seeing blue flames, and I'm kind of getting it, you know, to this is what's going to happen now. This thing is going to finally, you know, do something or whatever it's going to do. But, you know, Sophia, it didn't come in like you see on TV. Like when I say it's the antithesis of any kind of an apparition that I've ever heard about, it wasn't like wind blowing and chairs flying around and screaming and roaring and all. It wasn't anything like that. It was a big wall of blue flame, and why it was blue, I'm not sure. But the only thing I could think of, and I'll tell you what it told me about that flame, but it was like a miracle of God's creation. Because, I mean, our flame in this fourth dimension, you know, we need it to cook with to keep us warm. You could melt two steels together and forge them into an even stronger steel. It's like a miracle in itself, our red flames. But this was a blue flame.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked exactly like flames, but only blue. I couldn't hear it burning. It wasn't any smoke. You know, like when you have a fire going, you could hear like the wood burning over there. It was nothing like that, and you see the smoke. This was nothing. I realized it was like this fire, this blue fire, was like God's burning detestation for sin, and it was the chastisement of this thing. I haven't told you about this thing yet. So that's what I'm seeing, and that's what I'm now I get to the edge of my the couch, and I'm just almost standing up. And Sophia, I start seeing what I thought was looked like coral, long pieces of coral, coming in through the flames, slowly, not like crazy, anything crazy like that. Just coming in slowly, very slowly. I don't know if you ever, if you ever gone to a board meeting, and you know, and when a meeting before it starts, the subordinates come in. And they're fixing their notes, they're fixing their tie, they're fixing their skirt. Everybody's nervously waiting. And then the CEO walks in, and he owns the room. I don't know if you ever had that experience. Well, that's what this thing was like. Mm-hmm. You know, when the CEO comes in, he owns that room. Everybody's looking at him. He takes the superior seat. It's when he starts is when it starts, when he's ready. You know what I mean? That's how this was. Came in very slowly. Yeah. All I could see now was these. Like they were about 2 feet long. If you go to, like we said earlier, John-Egan, EAGAN.com, and you look at, because I burned this image into my head while I had this apparition at the house, and I drew it and painted it, and that's what you'll see. So maybe you want to look at that while we're talking about this. So it comes in very slowly. It comes in. I see its head start to emerge through these flames. And the flame, like the weird thing about that, Sophia, is like when I was a kid and everything, and we heard that God created the angels. Like about a third of them decided they didn't want to, you know, their pride became before the fall. They wanted to move out on their own, but they were sent to hell or something like that. But this thing brought its hell with it, so it still was in hell, but it was here too at the same time. That's the power of these creatures who could maneuver the fifth dimension. So I see it coming all the way up. So I stand up now. Now, the thing didn't want to frighten me out of the house, Sophia, because, you know, it didn't want to go crazy and roaring and look like it's going to kill me. Because I guess it wanted to have that message, because otherwise I imagine you would run out of the house, right? If something like that was happening right in front of you, like a fifth dimension was open, you know, a big portal for a fifth dimension, you would probably, and then you see this creature coming out. But he was confrontational only that when he only came up to his head. He it looked like he couldn't get his body through. Or wasn't allowed to have his body too. I don't know how to explain that. A lot of this is unfathomable because I can't really explain, but I put every detail in the book so you could see it, and then you can maybe get more information out of the details than I even can verbally communicate them with you right now. So it's his full head now, and all these horns are coming straight out of his head that I thought was coral-looking things, but it was growing out of his forehead. And the top of his head was like a shell, right? Like a horseshoe crab, when you ever see those things. So the top of his head was like that. He was blue. Like, I don't understand that either. I say a lot of these things are unfathomable. I don't know why he was blue. I said to my wife, if anybody tells you they saw the fires of hell and they say they're red, that's not the fires of hell. They're blue. But anyway, so I see he's blue too. So, okay, I thought every picture I ever saw in the past in the book, right, the devils are red running around with like a pitchfork and the fires are red. But this is nothing like that. Like when I say this, it's so different from any apparition. So comes all the way in. So I stand up, you know, and I didn't feel like running out of the house. I mean, that's the weird part about it. It didn't want me to. It wanted to tell me a couple things. So I just stand up in front of it. It's standard confrontational to me, Sophie. Like when two guys have a conversation, they kind of talk on an angle. They don't talk right in your face. You know what I mean? That's what this was doing. It was confrontationally talking to me, and it had like black eyes. It didn't have any pupils. It didn't have all I could see was black in there. But Sophia, this thing, and this is unfathomable, had like a face. It had an actual face. But I mean, but I'm thinking to myself at the same time, what? How could it have skin? Like it looked like maybe flesh and blood, but I guess it can't be. Because how could it be burning in this blue flame? It's still like you would think his flesh would be rotten or burnt. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't. It was just fine. It's, I don't know how to explain that either. But it's unfathomable, like I say. And I kept looking at this blue flame, and I kept looking at him, and I kept seeing that he's as far as he was going to go. So I was kind of happy about that. So I knew this was it, and I didn't know what it was at that time. And it looked straight at me. I'm looking at these flames, and it said to me, only your spirit will feel the effects of this fire. this type of fire. So I guess as a flesh and blood, it wasn't going to, but I guess in the next dimension, if I leave, you know, as a spirit, then I'll feel the effects of that fire. But that's what it said. So then I realized, okay,
huh.
I guess I don't have to worry about that. You know, I was kind of worried about that big ball of flame. So, and it said to me, no more. So I didn't answer one of its questions. I didn't even ask it a question because I was kind of like, I guess, a little bit in shock standing there. So I didn't say anything. I didn't answer it. I didn't say anything. He said, no more. And I only could think of saying no more. I was thinking, no more prayers, no more trying to save souls. But then I realized these souls coming in his direction, he wants them. They want these souls. They don't want anybody to interfere with it. That's why I had this effort. They don't want anybody to stand in between the souls that are supposed to come to these to this chastisement. They want them there really badly. I don't know why really badly. Whatever happened between this creature and God, like before time began, I can't figure out whatever happened. But this thing is for 100% hate. Like 100%. It wasn't like 99.9% hate, Sophia. It was 100% hatred. And I tell people, do not leave this planet with 1 ounce of hatred in your heart. If you hate your brothers or sisters or your neighbor or any race, religion, nationality, get that out of your heart, because this creature is going to show you how to use that hatred to alleviate all your pain, because that's what it does. I saw that. I could see that. And it wants these creatures who died like atheists or hated God or hated anybody, they want that hatred. They want that to stay there with them, because then it's easier to get them into wherever they have them. He showed me like his empire built on hatred. That's what they have there. It's like an empire built on hatred. So I know now, he said, no more. And I could only imagine he meant about stop praying for these souls, because like it's probably a barrier there that's created for him, that souls are probably just, he just wants them to come in. And that this fire was just something that would only affect my spirit. So I was okay about that. It was 100% hatred. It said one other thing. It said, we are many, and many are more wicked than I. So I thought, I felt that was like almost like a threat in some way. Like, this is my first, you know, of this creature here, that there are many, you know. So, and he chose his word, like, fastidiously, with care, you know. And then I realized that this creature, it was created by God, like, before time began, before this universe was even here. There was no time. That was the fifth dimension. The time is like length, width, height, and time. That's fourth dimension. This thing was created before that. It wasn't created like a baby and like other angels taught it stuff. It was all created. All of them were created at the same time. So it was intelligent, powerful, wicked, 100% hate. This thing is so powerful. It, like when you pass, like I talked about earlier, we're all going to pass to that fifth dimension. And if we're not prepared, this thing is going to bewitch your spirit in that fifth dimension. You're going to be just like by yourself, Sophia. There's going to be no support. It's just going to be you. And probably I was thinking that when my brother, these little demons came from my brother, I was thinking that maybe these little demons take you to this hierarchy demon that was in this house. And then he bewitches your spirit. I mean, they have many wiles and deceptions. I could see that. They know how to seduce, entice, beguile your soul. So you're going to be there with this powerful, powerful creature. And especially if you have hate in your heart, he's going to show you, like I said, how to alleviate all your pain with that hatred. It's going to be a terrible situation. That's what my message is for people, is to if you have a religion, just go back to that religion. And whatever way it shows you how to get towards God, just go that way. Because this thing is waiting. And it's powerful. It has the power to, like, be invisible.
Mm-hmm.
It has the power to slam doors while it's invisible, or walk, like, it's 300 pounds, breathe, like, right over you, and you know, as an invisible creature. And then it has the power to create the fifth dimension and pass through it. I don't know if it had the power to fully pass through it. I saw it up to its head, and it didn't seem like it was going to go any further than that. That's why I say it was, Sophia, that's why I say this was a gift, because I got information. Mm-hmm. I didn't stop praying. I'm never going to do that. I'm just hoping that when he said, you know, we are many and many more wicked, just hope that it doesn't pertain to me anymore. I mean, so anyway, let me tell you right before what it did before it left, because it told me what it wanted to tell me. It came in when it wanted to come in, and then it was like right by my glass table where I had my rosaries on, and it stayed like staring me straight in the eyes the whole time. And when it spoke to me, Sophia, it didn't, you know, when somebody speaks, because it was such an intense communication, it was so intense and confrontation that I was looking at it straight in the face too, because I couldn't really take my eyes off it or that fire. But you know, when somebody talks to you, you kind of follow the lips a little bit, you know, and the lips kind of coincide with what they're saying in English, you know. But this, I heard what it was saying, but it wasn't like, I saw the lips weren't saying it in English. He has the power to, I guess, transform language, or whatever language they speak there. He connected with me in my language, you know, but not the same way his lips should have moved. But this one is unfathomable. Again, something that I couldn't figure out at the time either. So, so we have this creature who is powerful, who is 100% evil, who wants your soul so badly. You know, if you leave here like as a weak soul or something like that, and you're going to be in a situation like this, it can create a fifth dimension. I mean, there really, really is a fifth dimension, because I always thought there was, and you know, I guess you did too. You read about the fifth dimension,
John.
You know, because
there's going to be a hard close to the show. The exit music's going to come up from liveparanormal.com at the top of the hour. Is there any websites where can we get the book and send everybody to see the rest?
So if you go to John Dash, there's a dash between John and Egan. Otherwise, you're going to get my son. He's John Egan. I'm John-Egan, EAGAN.com. That's where you could get the 350-page e-book there. Press a couple of buttons, and it's going to come right into your email, and then you can put it into your phone, and you can read it anywhere you're at. You get the picture of the actual apparition, what I saw. You're going to see exactly what I saw there. That's where you could buy the book. It's a 350-page book. It teaches you how to know yourself, how to live, so this doesn't happen to you. My whole message is that we're all going to pass into that precipice. We're all going to stand on that event horizon, you know what I mean? And we're all going to have to take that leap into that big black hole. And if you're not going in the right direction, these things are going to be there waiting for you. So it's just so important that you do that. You go there and look at it and read about it and make your decisions while you're there.
Right, John, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you so much, John.
That was a pleasure. Believe me, you guys were great. Thank you so much, too.
All right, great feedback. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, thank you. I want to remind everybody, too, just so you know, it's EAGAN. So John-Egan.com. That's John-Egan.com. Great show today, Sophia.
Definitely. John was a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening today. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and I'm going to send John over to a link to the archive show. It'll be posted just momentarily. And feel free to like and share too as well, and visit the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli to find out about guests as we learn of them real time. This week we have Psychic and Salem Witch Trial Descendant Victoria Gross. That's the 25th next Saturday. So everybody tune in for that. Great show today, and we'll see everybody next week.
Hi, this is Debbie for Escheon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.